Good morning. Is it working? Happy Lunar New Year. Lunar New Year is also known as Spring Festival. It celebrates the passing of winter and the beginning of spring. But for those of us, we are here, we are living almost on the equator. Every day is summer. So we have no idea what winter is because we have light and warm every day and we took this for granted. And I think this is appropriate as we look at this passage that we want to talk about. There are many things in our faith that sometimes we take for granted and we need God to give us, open our eyes so we can see and so that we can appreciate it. So today we'll look at the transfiguration. Let's pray, shall we begin? Father, I pray that you open your word to us and open us to your word that we may see and we can understand and we can respond appropriately. In Jesus' name, amen. There are three things that we'll look at in this passage. We'll look at the transfiguration. There are three things here. Firstly, the setting. Secondly, the revelation. And thirdly, the message. Firstly, the setting. Two things here. After 6 days. And secondly, the blind sees. Firstly, after 6 days. In verse 2, and after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led him up a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. Here it says, after 6 days. What happened 6 days before this? In Mark chapter 8, that is a previous chapter, in verse 27 to 30, Peter confessed that Jesus was the Christ. And then from verse 31 to 33, Jesus then foretold his death and resurrection. But Peter rebuked him and said, no way. And then in verse 38 of chapter 8, Jesus said, for whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. And then the verse just before this, chapter 9, verse 1, Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God after it has come with power. Okay. So what does this mean? Let me see. Jesus spoke of his coming in the glory of the Father. That's in verse 38. And after the suffering and death, there will be the resurrection and glory. In chapter 1, 9 verse 1, is a promise that Jesus will be glorified and that he will rise from the dead. And then he said, some standing here will not taste death and before they see the kingdom of God. Some of them, refer to, at least now we see, Peter, James, and John. They were given the privilege to see the King in his glory. And this is a preview and guarantee of Jesus' future coming. Okay. And so, in verse 1, he says, some of you will see the glory. And so he brought Peter, James, and John up the mountain, and they saw his transfiguration. Now, obviously, James and John believe in that glory. They saw the glory. And that's why they tried to claim a place by asking Jesus, grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory. This is chapter 9. This is what happened in chapter 10. So James and John asked Jesus, can we, when you come in your glory, that we'll sit on your right hand and on your left hand? Obviously, they understood what that means. So that's why they asked for that. And then Peter in his final letter, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16 to 18, this is what he testified. He said, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, this is my beloved Son, of whom I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this very voice, born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. So this is the setting. So he took Peter, James, and John up there and let them see. And then the blind sees. It is very interesting to note that this transfiguration is sandwiched between two healings of the blind. First one in Mark chapter 8, verse 22 to 25, and the other one in the next chapter, in Mark chapter 10, verse 46 to 52. In Mark chapter 8, verse 22 to 25, Jesus healed a blind man in Bethsaida just before going to Caesarea Philippi, where Peter confessed Jesus as the Christ. Okay. So just how we said the setting, it started with Peter confessed Jesus as the Christ. And this is just before that. So he healed a blind man in Bethsaida. And in Mark chapter 8, see here Jesus took unusual steps in his healing. He led the blind man out of the village. He spit on his eyes and he laid hand on him and he asked him, do you see? The blind man said, yeah, I see people, but they are like trees walking about. Meaning that he could see vaguely but not clearly. And then Jesus laid his hand on his eyes again, and his eyes were fully restored. Now we may wonder why Jesus took such steps, where he could easily say the word and it would happen. But why did he do all that? Where he had to do a second touch on the blind man for him to see clearly. I think that will relate to what we are going to talk about afterwards. And then in Mark chapter 10, verse 46 to 52, Jesus healed Bartimaeus in Jericho just after James and John requested to sit by him in glory and just before the triumphal entry to Jerusalem to the cross. Okay. So just after James and John asked to sit one on his left and on his right, and just before his entering into Jerusalem. And here Jesus asked Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? And he said, Rabbi, let me recover my sight. Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Immediately he recovered his sight. Now here Jesus didn't even touch him. Jesus just asked him, what do you want? He said, I want to receive my sight. And Jesus effectively said, okay. And he was healed. Jesus just said the word. Without touching. Why the incident earlier, Jesus took so long steps, let him out of the village, spit on his eyes, touch him, and then touch him a second time. But here Jesus just said the word. And I think from these two, we are going to see the significance of what we'll talk about afterwards shortly. See, Jesus opened the eyes of the blind so that they could see. But many of those able to see were not seeing or perceiving. Being blind to the things of God, unable to see and believe Jesus' prediction of the cross. The disciples, now this was the third time that Jesus told them or predicted that he is going to suffer and die in Jerusalem. The first time right after Peter's confession, and second time right after the transfiguration, and then this is the third time. And they still couldn't understand. Now let's see the second part, the revelation. Two things here, glory reveal, and then Moses and Elijah. Glory reveal. In verse 2, and after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led him up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. And his clothes became radiant, intensely white, as no one on earth could bleach them. Here it says, he was transfigured before them. The word transfigured in the Greek is called is metamorpho. This is the process by which that on the inside is shown forth to the outside so that everyone could see. So that is metamorpho. Okay? That which is on the inside is shown forth to the outside so that everyone could see. And this is the same word that we derive in our English called metamorphosis. Okay. And metamorphosis has the basic meaning of changing into another form, like a caterpillar becoming a butterfly. So that is what the general idea of what metamorphosis is. But that is somewhat different from what the original metamorpho means. You see, Jesus did not change into another form in the transfiguration. He did not change. It's not like caterpillar into butterfly. Jesus did not change into another form. You see, Jesus is eternally and unceasingly God. He is the Word who became flesh. He took on the human form, but never at any one time did he cease to be God. The Word became flesh, but the Word is still the Word. God is still God. He never at any one time stopped being God. And this is explained in Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Now let me show you in another translation, the Amplified Bible, and it explains slightly more. In verse 7 says, but he emptied himself without renouncing or diminishing his deity, but only temporarily giving up the outward expression of divine equality and his rightful dignity by assuming the form of a bond servant and being made in the likeness of men. And so, Jesus is eternally and unceasingly God. Even when he took on the form of man, he did not stop being God. See, without renouncing or diminishing his deity, but only temporarily giving up the outward expression of divine equality and his rightful dignity, but assuming the form of a bond servant. See, on the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus was not transformed, but his true inner divine glory, which was hidden under the outward human form, was revealed for a moment. And so that transfiguration is actually the revelation of what was inside, under that form of human that he took on. And then I want to show you another part. Here it says, he was transfigured before them. He was transfigured. This is in the passive voice. He was transfigured. Meaning he did not transfigure himself, but he was transfigured. Meaning that Jesus did not actively reveal his divine glory by his own will and effort. But this was done on him by the Father. So when he took on that, became flesh, he did not at any one time actively reveal his divine glory. He did everything by prayer to his Father. And the same thing here. Here, he was transfigured by the action of his Father, not by himself. Okay. And then, and his clothes became radiant. In Matthew chapter 17, which is the Matthew's account of the transfiguration, and is recorded as, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. His face shone like the sun, and his clothing became white as light. Meaning that the radiance of his divine glory shone through his face and penetrating his clothing. And so, in that transfiguration on the mountain, so his face shone and his clothes shone because inside came out, penetrating to his clothes. Now, this is different from the case of Moses on Mount Sinai. See, Moses saw God, and Moses' face radiated the reflection of God's glory, but it faded over time. And then when Moses came down, his face shone and the people were frightened, and so he took a veil and cover. And so that shining could be covered by a clothing, by his veil. Okay? But Jesus' case is it shined through the clothing. I hope you can follow me, because this is a difficult part. I'm trying to explain as slowly, as carefully, so that you understand what happened, the whole thing. Are you following so far? Huh? Am I too slow, too fast? Okay. Do you understand? Okay. Okay. Now, let's look at Moses and Elijah. And there appeared to them Elijah and Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Now, here we talk about Elijah and Moses. Moses represents the law, and Elijah represents the prophets. See, the law and the prophets both testified about the promised Messiah. And so, Moses and Elijah, they were talking to him. And so, they were talking with Jesus. They were talking. This implies a long conversation. Okay, so they were talking for some time. In Luke chapter 9, verse 31, it explained to us what they were talking about. Luke recorded this and said, and spoke of his departure, which he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. So Moses and Elijah, they were talking to Jesus about Jesus' impending death in Jerusalem soon. So Jesus' death is the truth for which the transfiguration was intended to prepare the disciples. and the testimony of Moses and Elijah confirm the reality that the Lord Jesus would die. Okay. And so this is the message. Okay. Now we'll look at this shortly. Okay. And so Christ's death is the truth that this transfiguration wants to explain to the disciples. And the testimony of Moses and Elijah confirm that Jesus would indeed die. Okay, let's look at the third part, the message. Two things here. One, listen to him and until the resurrection. Firstly, listen to him. In verse 5, and Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. For he did not know what to say, for they were terrified, and a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, this is my beloved son, listen to him. Now I want you to see the sequence of this. In verse 4, Moses and Elijah, they were talking to Jesus. And then in verse 5, Peter said to Jesus. And then in verse 7, a voice came out of the cloud and said something. Okay. Now what does this mean? See, Moses and Elijah were talking to Jesus, and then Peter interrupted them. While they were talking, Peter interrupted them and said, Rabbi, it's good, you know. And then God the Father interrupted Peter. God the Father in the cloud. So interrupted Peter. Let's look at this. And Peter said to Jesus. And in the King James Version, it's put this way. And Peter answered and said to Jesus. And this is in the Greek. In the Greek, it is apokrinomai, which is to respond with a judgment. Now, which is translated as Peter answered. Now, what do you mean by Peter answered? Nobody asked him anything. See, he overheard Elijah and Moses speaking to Jesus about his coming death. And so he answered. So that means he responded. See, Peter had been listening to the conversation and he offered his judgment on what should be done. So he was listening to their conversation and then he interrupted them by saying something, giving his opinion. And then he said, Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents. You see, the conversation was on Jesus' impending death. But Peter wanted to make three tents to keep them on the mountain. Maybe to bypass the cross. Say, it's better that we just stay here. It's so nice. Don't go to the cross. And then a cloud overshadowed them and a voice came out of the cloud and said, this is my beloved son, listen to him. Elijah and Moses were talking to Jesus and then Peter interrupted them and then now God the Father came and interrupted Peter. You see, then God the Father appeared in a cloud and interrupted Peter. Said, this is my beloved son, listen to him. I think we can translate that as be quiet, listen to him, don't talk. Listen to him. Listen to him. The verb tense is in the present imperative. It's like keep on listening. So listen is not just hearing, but to obey what is heard. So listen to him. Listen to Jesus. That's what God the Father said. Listen to him. God the Father did not say, listen to Moses or listen to Elijah, but listen to him. Jesus came. God became flesh. He came to die on the cross. That is his mission. And so they were talking with Jesus about his impending death. And Peter interrupted. And God the Father said, no, listen to him. And then until the resurrection. In verse 9, and as they were coming down the mountain, he charged them to tell no one what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. Until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. Why? Why wouldn't Jesus allow them to talk about it? Why to wait? And then look at the next verse, in verse 10. In verse 10 says, so they kept the matter to themselves, questioning what this rising from the dead might mean. Meaning that up to this point, they still don't understand what that means. Jesus was talking about rising from the dead. He's going to die and he's going to rise from the dead. And they still don't understand. Up to this point, they were still talking among themselves, and what does this mean? See, meaning that they still could not see. They still could not see. They need the second touch of God. And they need the faith so that they could see. See, this whole idea of the Messiah dying was incomprehensible to the Jewish nation. And the disciples could not accept what Jesus said, had plainly spoken about his death and his resurrection. They could not accept that. That's why Peter rebuked him and said, no way that you could do this. And it will have to wait until Jesus had actually died and risen from the dead, that they could fully understand and believe in his divine glory. And transfiguration is actually an act of grace that Jesus gave his disciple and to us, so that we could see and understand. Briefly summarize what we have done, the transfiguration. Firstly, the setting. Jesus at the Caesarea Philippi, so Jesus asked them, who do you say that I am? And Peter confessed that you are the Christ. And then Jesus told them that he's going to go to Jerusalem and going to die. And Peter rebuked him. But then Jesus said that whoever is ashamed of me, that the Son will also be ashamed of him when he come in the glory of the Father. He's talking about that glory. And then he allowed the three of them to see his glory before his death and his resurrection. And then the revelation. Transfiguration is not Jesus changing into another form, but it's Jesus revealing what he was inside. He was eternally and unceasingly God. He was not at any one time stopped being God, even though he took on the form of a human being. But he was God all the time. But people cannot see that. Except on that Mount of Transfiguration, God the Father allowed them to see that that is supposed to give them the faith to know that the death is not the end. Jesus is victorious because he is eternally God. So Jesus allowed them to see his glory so that they will have the confidence to face the cross. And Jesus said, if anyone who is going to follow me will have to take up his cross and follow me. And so we know that we have that victory. So the message is not to interrupt what Jesus said, like Peter. And God interrupted Peter and said, listen to him. I think what we need to learn is listen to Jesus. And he will show us his glory. And at the end, we shall be transformed. For us, that will be transformation. This body will take on, this mortal body will take on immortality. And we'll take on that glorious body when we meet our Lord Jesus Christ in the final, when he come again. Let us pray, shall we? Father, I pray that you open our eyes for us to see that glorious thing that you will do for us when we shall meet you face to face, when you come in your glory, where we will be transformed. Father, I pray that as we go through the days on earth, sometimes it may seem difficult, sometimes we may think that we are powerless and we are in difficulty. Help us that we may see that we are more than conquerors, because you are eternally God, and that you have overcame, you have overcome, and you have conquered death, that we shall rise with you in glory. So God, we pray that you help us to understand this message of transfiguration, that we can gain more confidence in our faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.